You're listening to Tech Thursday on West Limerick 102 FM.
Hello there and you're very welcome to Tech Thursday. This is Patrick Sheehan. I'll be with you for the next hour or so looking at all the latest in tech and answering any questions you might have. As always, you can call 069-66-200 or you can text or WhatsApp 0871-669-800 or you can email patrick102fm@gmail.com. And any questions you might have, I will answer them on the next show. So to start off with today, we have a message from Gregory, and Gregory is in Newcastle West, and he was telling me about his new car. So he got a 2017 Ford Fiesta, and he said that he's not a big fan of the sync system, that the version he has doesn't have sat-nav built into it and doesn't find it fantastic for playing music and things like that. And what would I recommend gadget-wise or app-wise to help improve the features that he would need for driving? So I suppose it's kind of true for a lot of cars. Some of the more modern ones, I think Teslas are quite good with that, with apps and stuff, but some of the newer ones, my own car now is an older car as well. It's actually a 2016 Ford Focus. And so I probably have a quite similar system, the sync system, and I don't use it that much. I just use it for the kind of basics, but I suppose what I've done with mine might help you a bit as well, as I mostly just use my phone. So I suppose if you don't have a good phone holder, I would recommend I've used every kind of one over the years, but the one I ended up using for a mix of convenience and reliableness, if that's a word, is a magnet holder. So I got one of the holders that actually wedges into the air vent. So it's like a V-shaped one. I've tried the ones that you press the button and it kind of grabs, it goes inside and then squeezes in. They're okay, but they wobble around a bit. But what I found was like, it's like a thick rubber one with two like V-shapes that come together. And then you squeeze that part in between the two parts of the air vent and it kind of wedges in and it's solid. It doesn't move around too much either. And it has just a flat magnet surface on it. And then I got one of the metal pop sockets that's a ring as well. I kind of like to use pop sockets, or this is actually a ring one. So it's a circle in the center that's actually a magnet. And then it has a ring on the outside that can pop out and it can rotate around as well. But it's kind of, the circle ones are the ones that are too large, I found can kind of cut at my hand, or I find it kind of awkward. So I find it's kind of a squared circle kind of thing, you know, it's a slightly off and it's not too large, just my finger fits into it perfect just for holding the phone in place. And it's probably prevented me dropping the phone 100 times, so it's handy for that. But when I'm in the car then, I just lay the ring part flat and the magnet part sticks on very solidly to it. So I would recommend getting a good one, the car holder side of it. I think I got mine in TK Maxx or somewhere like that, but you know, the products can change there all the time, so maybe if you have a look online or something. But you know, they're in most shops anyway, and you know the general type. So to just hold the phone in place, because then you can use the phone as your in-car entertainment and things like that when it comes to playing music and things like that. Now, the car can be handy with your Focus. You'd have a USB port actually down near down in the center console, which you can, if you have a memory stick with a lot of music on it, if you kind of sort them out into folders and things like that, it can kind of go through them. So if you want to play music straight like that, it works good, and you can use the steering wheel controls. But if you have, you know, you can use free versions or you can use premium versions of like YouTube Music. It depends on what kind of phone you have as well. Apple Music, Spotify, any of those different apps, and you can play your music that way. When it comes to navigation, I usually just have my phone on with Google Maps, because I don't have, some of the newer phones have built in Android Auto, and apparently that works much better. Like with televisions, you know, the older televisions with the built-in software, like my own TV is a Toshiba and it doesn't have any, it just has its own kind of software, which I don't even use. I just plug in a Google Chromecast with TV and I use that. So it's the same with cars, I suppose. The newer Android TVs are much better for navigating and things like that. And from what I've used, the Android Auto built into cars seems to help a lot to have the apps built in. And it helps them when they have good software, good hardware. Even their own software can be good on some cars if it's fast to navigate. Like Tesla's own software isn't made by Google or anything, but they have... it does work quite well. They've invested a lot in it. But for cars that are a few years older than the newest models, probably setting up the phone would be the best way for most of that kind of stuff. So a good holder, the phone. I've tried a few different maps, but I usually end up going back to Google Maps. I just find it the most reliable. It has a lot of up-to-date. I've seen some taxi drivers that I use using Waze because it gives... it gives different routes and different things like that. It gets into more into the nitty gritty. But if you just want a kind of a simple one, I find Google Maps is quite good. And it's available on pretty much every phone. I think Apple actually carries Google Maps as well, doesn't it? I think it does. So you can use it on almost any device. And it does what it says on the tin. You can use your, you can talk to Google and ask it, navigate me, or, you know, give me directions to wherever you want to go. And it will take you there. It'll set it all up and it gives you the time and you press go and it's off. So it's simple enough, simple to use. But I also looked up a bit of an article here just to see the coolest car gadgets to soup up your current ride. This is on PCMag.com. And let's see what they have, what kind of ideas they have. Stereo system interfaces. That's another thing that's possible. But I know in my car anyway, in the Ford Focus, and it's probably quite similar in the Fiesta, it's kind of very integrated. But I know you can get whole blanks and you can maybe take out... the whole unit and take the system off the back of it and have one that's kind of purpose made to replace that, but it would have to integrate all the other systems that are built in, and I don't know if they do a whole replacement. Maybe they do, but I haven't looked that up. But this is a stereo or system interface. The smartphone is the first screen most people turn to, even while driving. Making that a simpler, safer proposition is big business. It's why Apple created CarPlay and Google made Android Auto. Each offers a way to connect. Yeah, well, you can, of course, rather than replacing your whole system, you can just download Android Auto or Apple CarPlay, depends on what kind of phone you have, and have that on your holder. And another reason I was recommending the magnet holder is it's quick as well. Do you know, I've had the holders that I even have the automatic one that you lay the phone on and it goes and squeezes onto the phone, but then you have to press the button at the back to get it off. It's easy, just throw it onto the magnet, it's stuck on solid, and then you just pull it off and you're away again. It's the easiest all rounder. But you can download Android Auto. It works quite well. It's a kind of a more distraction-free version of a lot of different apps. So you can have your music on it. You can have your navigation and everything going. But it simplifies it. It doesn't show you lots of different menus and lots of different situations. It wants you to keep your eyes on the road. So you just, there's a big button to press to change your songs or whatever. Or you can just use the steering wheel controls, which is probably the best idea. And have your playlist set up. And if you're going on a long drive or anything like that, have the songs you want to play if that's what you want to hear, or your podcast or whatever like that. Make a playlist. And then let the car do the rest. And if you want to change a song, just press, or skip a song, just press your steering wheel control. It still works. When you're connected with Bluetooth to the car, you can still change songs and everything like that through your steering wheel control. So that's quite handy. So yeah, they're recommending to download Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Each offers a way to connect your phone to your in-car. So if you have, well, it works on their own. Plus, if you have it built in, to your system, so if you have a newer system, but I know you don't, but others listening might, you can connect it directly that way. So Apple CarPlay will connect to Apple CarPlay in the car, and it'll integrate the systems a bit more between the phone and the car itself. making it easy, making the system easy. Hands-free access to calls, messages, and a slew of apps like GPS, music, and podcasts. It's what we'd recommend to use in any car. The interfaces created by the car companies for their stereos are usually rubbish. Yeah, I would definitely recommend that over the years. And they say Tesla appears to be the exception. Yeah, that's also what I've heard over the years. So, yeah, it's difficult to make good software, as TV companies know. Even TV companies that are used to using good software with phones, you know, phone makers and everything. When it comes to their TVs, a lot of the software is very bad. And they don't have good hardware to back it up for menu systems and things like that. I suppose they're concentrating on the sound and the screen, mostly the screen. So it's just fair enough, I suppose. Lots of new cars support Android Auto and CarPlay from the get-go, but older vehicles are not entirely out of luck. Many aftermarket systems support them, with prices ranging from expensive to even more and more expensive. Yeah, exactly. The brains of such systems are the box in the dash that we use to just call the radio or maybe the stereo, but it's now the stereo head unit. It's what you access to play music and a whole lot more. Phone and text communication, GPS, you name it. And what you need to look for typically is a doubled-in head unit. A doubled-in unit goes in a 7x4-inch slot in the dash, which is relatively standard now. It can get pricey, as professional installation is recommended and can cost big bucks. Yeah, the problem is, I think with the Fords, it shows also the heating system and everything like that on the screen. So you're seeing your when you turn your temperature up and down to clear the window and everything like that, that's also displayed on the screen. So I think if you changed out the head unit, say for a standard doubled in stereo system with a screen, you're going to lose that. So maybe there is a purpose built one, especially for your own car, that would keep that going. Or maybe there's an upgradable system that can plug into your head unit to add that in, but I don't know. You could be out of luck, or I could be out of luck with the same kind of thing. So Android Auto. Google made Android Auto is our top choice for taking over your car's infotainment system. It brings voice control, Google Maps, hands-free access to calls and messages, and a slew of apps like GPS, music, and podcasts all to your car's dashboard. Prior to Android 12, Android Auto didn't require a head unit or a car for full support. You simply could mount your phone or tablet on the dash and skip the fancy hardware by using the Android Auto app. But Google killed that function as of Android 12. Okay, I haven't used it in a while, so I guess it's not working like that anymore, or for safety reasons. Instead, it wants you to use Google's assistant driving mode. Okay. If you can't get a vehicle with integrated Android Auto support. Okay, so if you don't connect to the car, it doesn't seem to work anymore. It just uses Google's assistant driving mode. Okay, so I haven't used that in a while. So that's a pity. I haven't used it that much recently. I just have something set up to play before I go, usually like a podcast or listen to the radio. And I'd have it to go. So I haven't gone into Android Auto for a while itself, or I'd have just the sat nav open with music playing in the background. So I haven't needed the full Android Auto system in a while. So yeah, good thing I didn't try it, because it wouldn't have worked for me. And I was just about to make a joke that you could get a large tablet and somehow get a holder that couldn't mount it on the dash, and you'd turn your car into like a makeshift Tesla with the big screen, and you could have your music and everything playing on that. Well, no, you could still do that, but it wouldn't have Android Auto, which is strange. Now, I'm sure maybe because that's missing. I bet there's third-party apps now that are trying to do the same kind of thing, because they're not doing that anymore. Like most of the older cars are not going to have Android Auto, so it's a pity that they stopped doing that. That, you know, you need the car that has it also, or it won't work, which is a pity, because I know a lot of people were using it. I used it myself a few times. So this is recommending a lot of different head units here and things like that, but I don't know how suitable they would be. retro manufacturing. So there's lots of different ones, different screens. So a Carlink 4.0 wireless adapter. Do you get frustrated with constantly having to plug your phone into the car to use Apple's CarPlay or Google Android Auto? Sometimes you don't want your phone charging. Sometimes the connection is poor. It should be like Bluetooth, no wireless needed. In some vehicles with wireless CarPlay, that's the case. If your car only supports wired CarPlay or Android Auto, the CarKit 4.0 wireless adapter can change that. It's a lot to pay for a wireless dongle, but considering the hassle it eliminates, it's £117. So it kind of gives a wireless connection to a car that's supposed to be just wired. DriveLink CarPlay wireless adapter. So this is another one, £89. Another adapter turns your wired CarPlay to wireless. The DriveLink works on any vehicle with CarPlay from the model year 2018 forward. It'll need Bluetooth for an initial connection, which is used to send 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi credentials to the iPhone. So a connection after that is automatic. If you want the dongle that supports only Android Auto, consider the 89 CARSIFY. Okay, so and I don't think those will be kind of suitable, because first of all, they don't have Android Auto, and second of all, I don't think the head unit can swap out that easily, and it'll be incredibly expensive. Although I can do a bit of research and see. Rove, so this is another one. It's a Rove Viva by Anker. Make your dumb car a little smarter with a Rove Viva from Anker. Plug it into the cigarette lighter and you not only get a couple of USB-A ports for charging, but your car now also has Amazon Alexa assistant inside that you can use to control things, even CarPlay and Android Auto. If you want some more power, get the Rove Viva Pro. It has more microphones and supports for audio that extends to the auxiliary inputs and even an FM radio. So it's a little dongle that can connect with Bluetooth and it becomes a microphone, something like that. And you can use it that way. Now, your phone, if you have a phone, you can use Google Assistant if you activate it on your, if it's a fairly most up-to-date Android phones. Connect with Bluetooth to your car stereo. And then that becomes, you know, whatever is, happens on the phone comes out through the speakers of the car. And then you can use your voice assistant, use your Hey, and talk to Google. I won't say the words together because it could activate people's phones that are listening. But you can do that and ask it to do things and it'll answer it. And the sound will come out through the speakers and everything like that. So that's what I use every day. If I want to, yesterday, I was out on a bit of a road trip and I was the sat-nav was going and I wanted to put on a bit of music, so I asked Google to play a bit of music and it started playing my own playlist straight away, so it was very handy. I didn't have to touch a button or anything, so it's very handy. That was built in. So if you don't have something built in, or if you prefer to use Amazon Alexa, you can get that little Rove Viva by Anker. So it's a little connector to do that. Amazon Echo Auto. So this is another version. Lets you take the Alexa voice assistant along for the ride. The nondescript device that plugs into your car's 12-volt outlet. So this is another one. So what was the other one? Oh, this was like a third-party one, Rove Viva by Anker. It's £67 as well for that Anker one. It's £49.99 for Amazon's own one. It's a nondescript device that plugs into your 12-volt outlet or USB port if you have one and connects to the phone's Alexa app to provide every voice-activated service that your homebound Echo devices does, including news, sports scores, shopping list, and music streaming. So it does all the stuff that you're... So if you're more of a fan of Amazon, you can kind of have it in your car as well by doing it that way. Cobra Jewel 360 radar detector. So it's £400. It seems like a lot to spend on a radar detector compared to that... compare that with speeding tickets you could avoid and suddenly the price becomes a bargain. Cobra's Jewel Pro 360 gets that moniker because it looks for radar and lasers all around your car, using arrows to indicate where the source and the voice alerts and it has voice alerts to keep you informed. Owners can become part of a crowdsourced alert network of other devices reporting speed traps. The magnetic windshield mount makes it easy to take in and out as needed. £715. Cobra Dual Pro 360 radar detector. Do you know what's better? Is just drive the speed limit. That's better. But yeah, I don't even know. This is an American thing as well, so I don't even know if these are even legal in Ireland. Probably not. So you know, America is with some of the laws are a bit Wild West, and in some they're incredibly restrictive. But with like food stuff as well, is there's a lot of stuff that's banned here because there's like E numbers and stuff that could be carcinogenic or cancer causing and things like that, and they're allowed in America and they're banned here. So, but yeah, it's strange. Some things are more stricter and some things are less so. The next thing they're recommending is the Pioneer VREC DH3000. Pioneer's dual recording dash cams for the front and back gather 1440p video at 135 degree field of view up front and 1080p at 128 degree in the rear. The front camera sports a nice 3-inch LCD for recording and playback. The system features Sony's Starvis, S-T-R-V-I-S, Starvis sensors for a clear picture and night vision. The integrated motion sensors capture 20 seconds of video before and after any bump incident, just in case. It even comes with a 16 gig micro SD card for capturing video. It's $114. I suppose that's not bad for front and back cameras. With a 16 gig card included, 1440p, and it has obviously accident detection and all that, and it's Pioneer, so it's a good brand. So it's the VREC DH3000D or 300D, so yeah, that's quite good. Yeah, that's a dash cam obviously for recording front and back in case any accidents happen or anything like that. It's always very good to have one for sure. So this is another one, the Vantrue S1 4K dash cam. The Vantrue S1 isn't one camera, it's two. One for a 170 degree view out of the front and the other mounted in the back window for a 160 degree look behind. They record simultaneously in 1080p at 30 frames per second. If you want 4K up front, use the front cam alone. Okay, so it splits it otherwise. The units can stand heat up to 158 degrees Fahrenheit and have Sony Starvis night vision. The screen on the front camera shows you what the camera sees, plus a constant view of your speed, a handy tool for a backseat driving passenger so you can see exactly how fast the driver is going if you're in the back. It even has a 720p parking mode so you can later view what might have happened to your car when you weren't in it. Oh, okay, parking mode. I thought it was actually to help you to park, so it keeps an eye on your car, or it can stay on at a low, kind of a low power mode or something like that, with maybe a built-in battery or whatever, while you weren't in it. So it keeps it's a bit of a sentry mode as they have in Teslas to keep an eye on your car. £229 for that Vantrue S1 dash cam. So this is another dash cam, famous brand back in the day for sat navs and everything, Garmin. Now they're making watches and things like that as well, so they're still going, considering they could have collapsed when the likes of Google Maps came out, but they didn't. They managed to adapt. Garmin dash cam 66 watt. Why did they talk about the wattage? Is it watt or is the W for something else? Garmin's top of the line compact dash cam has a 180 degree field of view for the road ahead and records 1440p video, sometimes called QHD or Quad HD, into a micro SD card, which is sold separately. You can place up to four cameras around the vehicle to record, and you control playback via a smartphone app. Voice controls let you ask it's just 66W, I suppose, to take a picture or start video recording whenever you desire. It's £269. The next one is another dash cam, but this one is built into like a rear view mirror looking one. The Pro version of this camera and screen combo for your dash is a slight upgrade to the original that's 200 less expensive. The Vanmoto VAS Pro is 299 but still offers 1080p wide-angle infrared night vision view with an 8-inch screen that helps navigate what may be ahead in the dark rain and fog. So it's a kind of a rear view mirror shaped dash cam. So I presume maybe it would go on above your current rear view mirror or something like that. So it's a $300. Okay, so wireless accessories. So we're going away from the dash cams. Kino Airframe QI wireless charging mount, vent mount. So that's another one, actually. So I was recommending the magnet holder for your phone. But if you don't use ring holders or pop sockets, you just kind of hold the phone as it is. And you have, say, like an iPhone with a magnet charger on the back. You can actually get the magnet holders for your phone that actually have a charger built in. Or if you have an Android phone with wireless charging, you can get the cases that have a kind of a magnet built into them that turn your phone into like a magnet charger as well. So you can get one that clips on, similar to what I was saying earlier, into the dash. It has a magnet built in, but it's like a flat plate. It's a wider big plate, and it grabs onto your phone, same as what I was recommending. But it has a USB-C port on the bottom, or lightning maybe for some iPhone ones, and you plug your cable into that, plug that into your cigarette lighter adapter or your USB or something like that, and then as soon as your phone magnets onto it, grabs onto it, it starts charging, wirelessly charging the phone as well. So that's another option. It's a more advanced. I actually have one of those chargers, but I like to use pop sockets, so I actually got a magnet case. It does work, but the case, I think, is a bit too thick and the magnet isn't strong enough. And so it's hard to get it to actually charge. You have to move it around a bit. Plus, if you hit a speed bump, the phone can fly off of it. That's why I would recommend a stronger magnet. But if you have a strong one, it should work quite well. The Kino Airframe QI wireless charging vent mount. So this is a magnetic one as well. I don't know. It's not. It seems to be grip on the two sides. Holding a phone is the basic job of a vent mount. The KENU, Kenu Airframe, goes the extra mile with built-in 10-watt QI wireless charging. It's smart enough to turn off when the temperature goes up, always a potential problem in a hot car. There is a 4-foot cable that goes into the 12-volt DC car charger, which includes an extra USB port for friends to use. For more, check out our roundup of the best phone car mounts. So that's £50. The iOTI wireless car charger. So this is another similar one. This has like 2 feet at the bottom to hold the phone from slipping down, and 2 arms at the side to kind of hold the phone at the side, and it has wireless charging as well. Placing your phone in the car to charge shouldn't require a cable anymore, as most of them can wirelessly charge, but few cars have a spot where you can set down the phone to do that. Enter Otis charger, which mounts right on the dashboard, or get the version that goes into the air vent or cup holder, or you can get a cup holder version as well, as you can bring your phone closer to the base. It auto senses it has it clamps down and holds the device steady. Yeah, so I have one like that auto clamps on. No, it doesn't. Does it have wireless charging? Oh, it does also have wireless charging, but I don't know, I just like, it doesn't work with the pop socket in, and obviously the wireless charging won't work with the pop socket because it keeps the distance between it. Then the QI charging can commence. It fits phones up to 3.64 inches wide. The arm extends from 4.9 inches to 8.3 inches and pivots 225 degrees. So you are the front passenger, can take control. It's £60. $60. So what's this? T-Mobile Insego 5G MiFi M2000. Is it like a wireless receiver, a 5G receiver? Our favorite mobile 5G hotspot is what every traveler needs. For full and affordable Wi-Fi on the go, it costs £50 a month. But for that, you get 100 GB of data over the T-Mobile. So this is in US. So you can get it's like Wi-Fi on the go. So I used to have one of those years ago before we had or years ago there was ideas that you didn't, I don't know if it was before we had the proper wired Wi-Fi or it was just cheaper. It was probably just cheaper at the time, where you got the little box and you put your SIM card into it and that was your Wi-Fi. And then you're walking around the house and they had little lights on the front of it and you were trying to get like 3 out of the 5 lights working so you have enough to actually connect to it. And then there was a lot of issues with them. Now I'm sure they've improved a lot since, and 5G ones could be quite good. But so this is recommending to use one in, but it's £50 a month in America. So it's a lot to pay to just have a bit of Wi-Fi in your car when you can have the SIM card in your own phone and have the Wi-Fi there, you know, and just connect onto that. The unit has a 2.4-inch touchscreen. Also, it has a touchscreen for controls and all that built into it. But still, that's a lot. WeBoost Drive X. If you need better phone signal in your car, use a booster. With a $400 WeBoost Drive X and an external antenna outside, you'll get up to 33% signal improvement for all the major North American carriers. So I don't know if it'll work over here, but maybe. For multiple users within a vehicle, the company says, you can find other WeBoost models for trucks and RVs. So it's a signal enhancer, pretty much. It goes onto the roof of your car. And I suppose for people that drive in kind of maybe spots that have poor reception and things like that, it boosts the signal so you have a better chance of continuing to have a stronger signal. If you're driving a lot and you're using the phone, you're talking, taking important calls regularly over the phone because you're busy commuting and you can find the time to take important calls and discuss things, and you find the signal dropping out a lot, and where it's actually worth money to you, it might be worth a system like that that might enhance your in-car calls. So that's the WeBoost Drive X. But yeah, it's a lot of money, all right. WeBoost Drive Sleek. So this is another thing. WeBoost Drive Sleek is a phone holder with a cellular signal booster for one phone, giving it an extra mile of connectivity to the next tower. Okay, so it gives you a bit more distance from between mobile towers. You'll have to stick a magnetized fin antenna atop of the car for full signal. So it's £200. So this is a simpler version of it. What was that last one? It was £429. So if you just have one phone, this would be a cheaper version of it. Alltrek Universal Bluetooth Audio Cassette Receiver. So there is a Bluetooth option for those with in-car stereo so ancient, so archaic that it has a cassette player. The inexpensive Alltrek cassette Bluetooth adapter. So that's amazing. So I remember years ago we had those cassettes with the wire coming out the back, and you had it was an AUX, like a headphone jack. So you stuck the tape into the tape player, and then you had the wire coming out. You can plug your phone into it or plug whatever we had back in the day, MP3 players, and play our music. I used to be delighted. One of my dad's old cars when I was young, I got one of those and I plugged my cheap MP3 player I had at the time with my music on it, and I could play all my music through the cassette player. So this is a more advanced version of that. So I suppose in America there would be still a lot of older cars on the road, and here as well. I suppose they're here as well. A lot of people have the retro cars, 90s cars and vintage cars and things like that might have cassette players, so it might be handy for that. That turns it into Bluetooth for you. A lot of people, you know, upgrade the systems in vintage cars and things like that, but this would be a way if you want to keep your car 100% original. Say you have an early 90s Civic Type R or something like that, and you wanted to keep everything all original on it, and you have your cassette player, so you can put this cassette in and it will turn it into a Bluetooth adapter for you. So that's very handy. It slides into the deck like one, but pairs with your smartphone for audio playback through your car speakers. Eject it and it automatically turns off. The adapter does need power, so you'll have to plug it into the car outlet or run it off of its built-in battery rated for about 8 hours. Optionally, get the less expensive Altrek Bluetooth car audio receiver and FM transmitter, so your phone's audio can be played if it was a radio station. As if it was a radio station. Oh yeah, that's another one as well. Yeah, it transmits a signal, like a very short range FM transmitter. $29.99 for that. It could be quite handy, especially people with classic and vintage cars and things like that, to have a bit of Bluetooth without changing its originality. Very good. ALURATEK. Universal Bluetooth Audio Cassette Receiver. Very, very handy. Vigo Bluetooth Headset. So this is for a Bluetooth headset. So you still, years ago, every sales rep on the road would have their Bluetooth headset on. So this is another one. You still see people using them every so often. I suppose where, although I find it quite good now, I'd say I have the built-in microphones in. So when I take phone calls, I often have long phone calls and I'm moving around in the car and they can hear me clearly. So the speaker systems are quite good in the Ford Focus that I have. So they're quite good. But I suppose some cars mightn't have the microphones that are quite good, as good at picking up the voices. And they might want to use a headset. So it's the one that's in your ear and there's a long microphone coming down off of it. Vigo's in the picture. No, I've had one before that was very short, but it still did the same kind of job. Vigo's Bluetooth headset lets you make hands-free calls with noise cancellation, but it's also an alert system. It plays sound, vibrates, or flashes LEDs to help keep you awake when it senses driver drowsiness. Oh, so it does that as well. So, okay. So it's a... You can take your calls, you can talk to people, but if you keep it on, it'll also kind of keep an eye on you a bit if it feels you're drowsy or something like that. So, oh, that's quite handy for that purpose. I didn't think of that. The Nectech PD45 Type-C car charger. So this is if you want fast charging on the go. It converts your cigarette lighter to a 45 watt fast charger, so that's very good. Even if your car has a USB port, you may want more. Yeah, so the USB port on my car is useless. When I had the sat nav on, the phone was using more power than it was getting from the charger. So I was still losing. I started off with, say, 80%. I turned on the sat-nav. Okay, I need to go into the center of Dublin or something like that, and plugged it into the USB port in the car. And by the time I get to Dublin, it's on like 50%. It's charging, but it's charging so slow that it's actually using more power to run the sat-nav on the phone to use Google Maps. So that's how bad it was. But then I had a standard cigarette lighter one, and it was similar, a little bit faster. But then I got, I don't know, they had it in Lidl or Aldi or somewhere, like a 15 watt, which isn't super fast charging, but it's fine. 15 watt one, cigarette lighter one, much faster. It stays ahead of the sat nav anyway. So, you know, if I've it on for an hour and a half, even if my phone is, say, 50%, and I have the sat-nav on, and I'm starting in Limerick going to Dublin. By the time I get to Dublin, even with the sat-nav on, the phone would be full. So it stays ahead of it, and it keeps charging, and it's quite good. It's like a medium speed charging, so it's quite good. So this one is a 45-watt charger, which is very good. £20 is a good price as well for a fast charger. So it's the NEK-TECK, Nectech, PD45 Type C car charger, and it has two. It has a full size. I suppose the Type C would be the fast one. Nowadays, the Type C seems to be the faster ones, and the USB would have a slower speed. And usually, that might be 10 watts or something like that. Especially, you might want more, especially as more and more devices charge from USB-C port rather than the classic USB-A. The Nectech PD45W has both. Plug it into your car cigarette lighter and using the 45 watt Type-C, you can get 3 times the charging speed of an iPhone. On an iPhone, so that's very good, 20 quid. Technic, they have another one, USB car charger. So this has 4 USB-A's. So if you have 4 people in the car and they all want to charge their phones, I presume it'll be quite slow if 4 people are using it at the same time. The more new tech you add to, that's true. It's not just people with phones. You can have lots of different devices that might need to plug in, fans or dash cams and other things like that. The more new tech you add to your car, the more you'll find a need for USB-based charging, especially in an older car that doesn't have integrated USB ports. This unit goes right into the car lighter charger outlet and offers 4 fast charging ports you can use simultaneously, but it might be slightly slower by the time you have multiple devices plugged in, because it does divide out. That's $11.99. TomTom Go Comfort. You might think of a standalone GPS as not needing a smartphone, but the TomTom, I presume they mean is not needed nowadays because of the smartphone, but they didn't write it properly in this article. But the TomTom Go Comfort is a great model that happens to also use your smartphone for updates for maps. Plus, it shows your messages on the screen as they appear. For our top-rated reviews, why not wild about ways, try one of our best GPS devices. So this is 212 quid. So if you still want to use a sat-nav, you can get one and it gets updated. I don't know if you still have to pay for updates and things like that. That's why a lot of people jumped to Google Maps, because they gave free updates. Apple AirTags, so that's a little tracker you can put on. I want an almost foolproof way to find your lost or maybe even stolen vehicle. Hide an Apple AirTag in it somewhere. These reliable and accurate trackers are inexpensive. Will tell your iOS or iPad device where to find your car from miles away, even track it as it moves. The closer the car is to other iOS-based devices, the more accurate it gets. Of course, Apple also has released ways to prevent AirTags from being used for stalking, so behave. For more, read how to protect yourself against AirTag or Tile stalking. Android users should look at using the Tile Pro for the same effect. 24 quid. That's actually could be very handy if you lose your car in the car park. Where did we park? It often happened to me before. It happened to me badly one time. I parked the car in one place, got on the elevator and went down wherever it was, and then went back up to the wrong floor, but it looked quite similar. I don't know where we were. It could have been over in the UK or something like that. And I was walking around the car park. I could not see my car, but I was on the wrong floor. I forgot. I should have written down, you know, what I was level on. It was a -3A instead of -3B or something. And I was walking around the place and couldn't find the car. But I don't know if it'll help you if it's a three-dimensional thing. If your car is on the level above, will it help with that? Or is it just, I suppose it's distance, so it'll... Maybe will it show like your car is right above you? I don't know if it does that. Be interesting though, maybe. Vehicle monitoring systems. The Vivint Car Guard, our editor's choice for monitoring, plugs directly into your vehicle's OBD2 port and lets you track its location and receive alerts when it's been bumped or moved. It'll also let you know how erratic driving, such as speeding and harsh braking, will also diagnose mechanical issues and trigger Vivint's smart home devices such as cameras, outdoor lighting and sirens. You'll pay $9.99 a month for it and can add units to other drivers for $4.99 a month. So, and it's 200 quid to buy. So it's a car guard system. It plugs into your OBD port and kind of keeps an eye on your car and keeps all the stats together. There's a lot of different OBD port things now you can plug in and get stats on your car and see faults and things like that. It used to be just garages can do it, but now you can buy a lot of them yourself as well and plug them in and use phone apps to keep an eye on your on your car. T-Mobile sync-up device drive, sync-up drive. Now, I don't know if this is just in America, because T-Mobile is a is an American company that, sells phone network, a phone network company. But let's see what they say anyway. Most wireless carriers offer a way to connect practically to any car to the cloud by plugging an internet-enabled dongle into its onboard OBD port. Okay, I don't know about this cloud syncing cars. The T-Mobile sync-up drive adds the ability to create an in-vehicle Wi-Fi hotspot and free roadside assistance via the Allstate Motor Club. It also provides vehicle tracking for fleet operators or really large families, since up to 24 vehicles can be added to a single account. Okay, also, if you have a company with a fleet of vans, you can plug them into the OBD ports and you can see where your driver is. Oh yeah, he's on time to deliver the parts down to Cork, or the other driver is on time to go up to Donegal with the other parts and things like that. And you can keep an eye on all your drivers if you have a company or something like that. It shows where all the cars are. So that's quite handy for that kind of thing. 96 quid. Home Plus Gen 2 by Verizon. So this is another similar thing. OBD dongle, Bluetooth speaker controller to clip on the visor, and a USB charger to plug into the DSP power receptacle. It's like a user-friendly replacement for OnStar. It detects crashes and airbag deployments with built-in Verizon cellular service. It can make calls for emergency services and even relay in to the police if your car is stolen. Naturally, it has mobile apps to keep track of info from the OBD2 port, but it also helps to find your car in giant car parks and offers maintenance reminders. It's 99 quid plus 10 quid a month after a $35 activation fee. So these are quite, seem to be quite popular. Fixed car health monitor. So it's FIXD. Car health monitor. The affordable 59 quid fixed active car health monitor plugs into your vehicle's OBD2 port and connects it to an app on your phone to provide maintenance reminders and other helpful info to keep your car in top shape. Nanda Zeus smart tire safety monitor. So some cars have different levels built in, like my Ford Focus has a tire pressure monitor. It actually went off yesterday. I was on a bit of a road trip yesterday and it came on, so I pulled in. Luckily, I have a rechargeable tire inflator, and it has a USB port for charging phones, and it has a light, and it can blow up inflatable beds and soccer balls and all things like that. But very, very handy. So the tire pressure monitor came on yesterday. I pulled into a lay-by. One of the tire, it wasn't too bad. It was about 2.5 pounds out, or three and a half pounds out, something like that. It was a little bit out, but it's a front tire, so I suppose it's important. Well, they're all important, but for some reason, the balance on the front tires is very important when it comes to pressure. But anyway, but the car didn't tell me that. The car just said low pressure. So other cars then, newer cars, a relation of mine's car is a couple of years newer than mine. And her car, it tells you each tire. So it says the front left tire needs more air, or something, like gives a specific tire and that needs to be looked at and needs more air. And the other ones in it, the more advanced ones, then again, it gives you exact pressure of each tire, which is another level again. So and other ones, then the older cars don't tell you anything. But I suppose this device gives you the most, it's an aftermarket version of the most advanced one that shows you the pressure of each tire. Nanda Zeus smart tire safety monitor. Properly inflated tires can save you money on fuel, but pulling out the tire pressure gauge can get cumbersome. And before you know it, you've gone months without checking. That won't happen with Nanda's ZUS smart tire safety monitor. Anti-theft tire pressure sensors screw into your tire valves, no matter the make and model, and send pressures and temperature information to your smartphone in real time. You'll receive a notification if anything looks out of the ordinary, and you'll be warned of slow leaks before they develop into something more serious. So that's quite handy. It just screws. I wonder, is there any other wiring to be done? There's a little device. It looks like a little mouse. But maybe that just plugs into the cigarette lighter in the car or something like that. And it has a little connecting. It connects to your phone, and it shows the exact pressure in each tire. And it just screws into the tire valve instead of the normal cap use. And I suppose it pushes in the little valve, so the air is pushing against it, so it can tell the pressure. And then it uses that to send a signal back to the receiver, which connects to your phone. And tells you how much pressure you have. So that's £65. The Nanda ZUS Smart Tire Safety Monitor. So that could be quite handy. Jansight Tire Pressure Monitor. So this is another similar kind of one. It's a different kind of design. So this has a readout of its own. So the other one is just like, it looks like a mouse. It's a little receiver. It connects up to your phone. So this one actually gives a readout of the PSI or whatever in each tire. So it has a solar panel on the back of it or something like that. Does it? I don't know. Maybe that's just the design of it. If you don't need a fancy TPMS tire pressure monitoring system that connects to your phone, get a third party unit like the Jansight. Put the waterproof sensors on the stem of each tire. Plop the solar powered. Oh yeah, it is solar powered display on the dash, and get ready to monitor. So it'll just keep itself charged up. You don't need to plug it in or anything. The sun will keep it powered up enough, and get ready to monitor. It'll inform you about low pressure, high pressure, leaks, high temperatures, and monitor as you go. $35.99. So that's quite good. So it screws onto your valve caps, and the same kind of thing. And then you have that on the dash, a little receiver, and it gives you the pressure of each tire. So Jansight Tire Pressure Monitor, very, very handy. So this is recommending some apps. Google Maps, I would say the same, very handy. Parked Car Locator, so this is another one if you're a kind of person who misplaces their entire car in the car parking lot. I've done it once or twice, but I'm usually pretty good. Nowadays, I take a picture of the level I'm on and the car park number or something like that, if it has a space number. Consider getting the Parked Car Locator app for your Android phone. Give it a tap as you leave the vehicle. Upon your return, the app provides you with an arrow pointing in the right direction. Also, you give it a tap and it marks where you are on a map, and then it'll guide you back there again. So that's quite handy. Honk. So that's it's free as well. Parked Car Locator app. So that could be quite handy. Honk, not to be confused with Honk messaging app. Honk will hook you up with help if you're out of petrol or diesel. In a ditch, get a flat, get locked out, or you need a jump start, unless you're in Oklahoma or Montana. So this is a US thing. It collects the cash to pay the service that helps you out, such as Uber for towing. No subscription fee is required. £49. So I don't know if that is going to work here. It's a no subscription roadside assistance option. But I don't know if that's available in Ireland. Urgent.ly, another AAA meets Uber roadside assistance app service. Urgent.ly has iOS and Android apps. I'd say again, I don't know if this is available here. It's AAA in America, but it's AA here. So the AA breakdown service, and I know a few of the insurance companies have either a connection with a breakdown service or have their own breakdown service as well. So check if you already have that, and if you have it as an option, I suppose it would be good maybe to add on. You know, if it costs just £20 a year or £25 a year or something to add it on, it might be a good idea to tick that box. And if your car ever did break down for any reason, you can get a bit of assistance. Gas Buddy has been around in one form or another for years, helping you find the least expensive way to get petrol or diesel for your car, no matter where you are. So it's to find petrol stations. But a lot of that is built into Google Maps as well nowadays, so you might need it. Park Mobile, Many communities have gone digital when it comes to parking. If you live in a place that supports it or plan to visit one, you'll find the Park Mobile app invaluable. Rather than running to ticket machines to print out a piece of paper that goes on the dash, walk away from your car while using the app and submit your payment and zone number. Actually, it happened to me recently. I don't know if that one is available here now either as well, if it's an American thing or not. But I was in Cork recently, and I had to park on the street somewhere. I don't know what I was going to, but I had to park on the street in Cork early in the morning. And I actually had to go on an app, download the app and all that, set up an account with it, and then buy my ticket and just put in the reg of my car so that if the ticket, if the parking person came around, they'll see the reg of my car on the app and they'll know that I've paid for my parking up to whatever time it was. So I had to do it all over the phone, but it was a bit of a faff setting up the app the first time. But if I ever have to go back again, it'll be handy. But it was only, I don't know if it was only specifically for that area, or if it's an app that is used in other places, but not that much. I've never had to use it anywhere else. I had to use it in Cork City that day. But it was all right. It wasn't too bad. iExit offers a petrol prices info, but perhaps more excitingly, it has a rundown of the great things to find at almost every interstate exit. That would be quite handy over here as well. I don't know if it exists, an app that has all the petrol prices of all the different petrol stations. Now, they change so often that it'd be a very busy app. But I'm sure if people could get involved, if trusted people could get involved, they would tell the truth about prices at petrol stations. So imagine you can open the app and it shows you a kind of a 20-mile range or whatever. And if you're thinking, okay, I'm going to be, you know, there's a petrol station in the middle of Limerick that's 5 cents cheaper or something. I'm going to be driving to Limerick tomorrow anyway to do shopping or to pick up somebody or to do whatever. I'll get it there. Or, oh, the one in my local town is the cheapest one around, or there's four or five in the town. Different parts of the town, and this one is 2 or 3 cents cheaper than the other ones. Okay, I'll go to that one. It would be handy, all right, to have a full map. And this one also, this iExit app also recommends petrol stations and things like that that have that shows you the different. This one has a Supermax. This one has a Burger King. This one has a McDonald's or whatever, or whatever else is available in each one. So that's quite handy. Next thing it's recommending is a few different tire inflators. But I actually have done a good bit of research on this before. I probably might have talked about it on the show, but I was looking into getting one myself, and I ended up getting a Ring RTC 6000. So it's it has a USB. It has a light. It has, it obviously inflates the tires. It has a digital gauge and everything. And it has different connections for inflating beds and soccer balls and all that. So I looked it up there, and it's the Ring RTC 6000. Now, I was going to read out all the different ones. There's a DeWalt, there's Noco Plus, there's different ones, brands. But unfortunately, we're running short of time. So I hope you've enjoyed Tech Thursday. I'll be back with you again next week. And thank you for listening. I'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Tech Thursday on West Limerick 102 FM.